Hi, everyone. This is Scott Balsam, one of your legislative directors at the Ingalls National Office on One Mass Avenue in Washington, D.C., right across the street from the Senate office buildings.
What's going on, Podcast Nation? This is Daniel Elkins, the other legislative director.
And hi, this is Frank Yocum, the executive director for Ingalls as well.
So this is our second in what we plan to do, a regular series of podcasts. So today is Tuesday, November 28th, 2017, and we have some content that obviously we could discuss. It changes by the time you end up hearing this podcast, but we'll continue to update you regularly.
And we have a surprise.
And we have a surprise this episode as well. We have a special guest joining us we will introduce momentarily. So I'll first give you a quick update. Since the last time we talked to you, the appropriators on the Senate side have passed a bill appropriating $650 billion for the defense. Quite a nice surprise for the National Guard and Reserve equipment account that obviously the National Guard, Air and Army Guard gets a large percentage of, is appropriated at $1.5 billion. That's an increase from what we saw last year, and that is a very positive thing. It's yet to be determined. That $650 billion mark is above the sequestration numbers, and so something is going to have to change, or else if that is actually signed into law, it's going to take a hit of about $70 billion. It's going to come back down, and Congress is, although we're getting to about a month away from the end of the first session, they're going to have to come to some conclusion in order to keep the federal government running so they could address sequestration or the Budget Control Act ceiling in an omnibus package that it can keep the government running. Word on the street is there's two options at the moment. One is a short-term CR that gets us really right before the Christmas holiday, there after the December 8th deadline, and that gives them a few more weeks to come up with a longer-term deal into 2018, calendar year 2018. The other option would be a longer-term CR to somewhere in the early spring time frame. But defense hawks on the Hill, specifically conservatives, are not very happy with that latter option. They want to see defense sequestration handled sooner than later, and the budget and the Department of Defense funded adequately. And so we'll have future updates for you in the next month, but that's the lay of the land at the moment. Daniel?
Thanks, Scott. A few updates for everyone listening. Last week, we put out on our email publication an updated article on the situation in Fort Bliss, specifically focused around Ryan Ziegler and some of the issues that a lot of guardsmen and women have been having as they demob through Fort Bliss. So that got a bunch of light recently when Leo Shane, an editor at Army Times, did an article, and a lot of transition has happened. There's additional support staff that have been put in place at Fort Bliss, additional training for the medical teams, as well as a formalized process for the service members as they go through, that's being put in place. So we are hard at work to continue making sure that we collectively are getting the treatment that we have earned when we go downrange, and we are making sure that those in power and have the ability to affect change are doing their jobs. Additionally, over the last few weeks, we were given the nomination to be a negotiated rulemaker for the Department of Education on gainful employment. What does that mean, and why is that important to service members, specifically National Guard members? Well, it means that I'm going to be sitting at a negotiation table with lawmakers starting next week. There will be three sessions, one each month for the next 3 months, where we will be discussing certain laws that apply to for-profit and nonprofit schools and how it affects GI Bill eligibility as well as student veterans. So I'll be working with a colleague from the American Legion, and we'll be weighing in and giving our opinions on how these important laws should be implemented and applied to schools And we'll have more updates for you. Hopefully we'll have some of you come visit us during the legislative workshop, and you can come see the actual process take place. You're all welcome. That covers my end. Frank, what do you have on your agenda today?
Well, one of the things that I've been privy to recently is an update about the Title V conversion of military technicians. As you're probably aware, in the 2017 National Defense Authorization Act, it talked about having a conversion of 20% of the dual status military technicians to Title V, starting the 1st of October, and 100% of the non-dual status converting to Title V starting on the 1st of October. And our understanding from Guard Bureau folks is that all of the non-dual status military technicians, both their position and the people themselves, were converted to Title V on the 1st of October. There's about 1,950 of those in the force. And in addition to that, my understanding is that 20% of the dual status military technician positions, that's the spaces that they're in, not necessarily the faces, were also converted on the 1st of October to Title V. That gives them about 6 months to convert to Title V, the people who are actually the incumbents, without any competition against their jobs. After the 6 months, then they become competitive and they have to now compete for their jobs along with anybody else within the civil service system. The 2018 National Defense Authorization Act, which has come out of conference but has not yet gone to the floor of the House or the Senate for a vote, I don't believe, that changes the percentage from 20% to 12.6%. 12.6% is about 6,000 positions within the Army and Air Guard total, 3,200 on the Army Guard side and 2,900 on the Air Guard side, instead of the 20% that we were looking at. So we're down to, we're looking at 12.6%. None of the timelines changed on that. It didn't delay anything at all. So we're still looking at probably, once it's signed into law, the conversion of about 6,000 people to Title V. There is still some discussion over on the other side of the Potomac River at the Guard Bureau about what status they'll actually be in, whether they'll be competitive civil service or they'll be accepted civil service. My understanding is that OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, they have a request from DOD to change those positions from competitive to accepted, and the OPM has not yet ruled on whether they're going to allow that. So right now we're kind of in a hold pattern, and as we find out more, we'll let you know.
Well, thanks, Frank. Before we close out the update portion of our podcast, I want to remind everyone that we will be having our 2018 Legislative Workshop and State President's Workshop on February 4th to the 7th here in Washington, D.C. Information is available at ingus.org and through your states. And so now we're going to quickly transition. We have special guest Robbie Martin is our chair of Lankia, and he's in Washington, D.C. for a few days. And so we invited him on the podcast, thought we could chat with him a couple about some of the stuff going on in the great state of Louisiana.
Yeah, and,
so thanks for joining us on what is our second podcast, and you're our officially our first guest.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us what's going on in the great state of Louisiana.
Well, one big focus we're having right now, we're trying to receive donations either monetarily or tangible items for care packages for our soldiers and airmen deployed overseas.
Okay. Is there a point of contact or a phone number that we could have people reach out to if they're interested in supporting that?
They can donate on langea.org, L-A-N-G-E-A. We also have a link on our Facebook page. And contact is Staff Sergeant Rebecca Burke or myself.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And tell us a little bit, just give us a brief overview of your military career and how you got involved in doing this great work in the state of Louisiana.
Well, I joined Red Eye High School, regular Army, stationed in Germany. Got out, joined the Guard, went to Afghanistan. Worked Hurricane Katrina, had a few years of M-Day time, then went AGR. I've been in almost 20 years now. I'm currently a first sergeant at a signal unit. And AGR-wise, I work for the Director of Security and Intelligence.
So when did you first hear about Angus?
I first heard of it through with Langus out of it, actually, and that was probably back in 2010.
2010, okay. Yes. And then what caused you to want to get more involved? You know, this is something that we are constantly challenged with, and we'd love to hear stories of how people heard about us, and then what caused you personally to get involved? There's always a story attached to it. So.
Well, the first one that I had at the time, he was actually approached by John Harris to get involved, and he later became the president. And I started volunteering, and I liked what the association was about. I saw some changes that need to be made, so I want to get more involved and make a difference.
Okay. And for those of you who are listening that don't know, John Harris is our current president and has worked in what widely known in the state of Louisiana in the National Guard. And what issues are near and dear to your heart as you continue to work these things in?
Bottom line, just taking care of families and service members, whether that be discounted items, retirement benefits, paid benefits, just quality of life, anything that makes their lives easier and better and increases morale.
That's cool. And now we'll kind of get into a little bit of a rapid fire session. So these are non-scripted for everyone who's listening. We haven't given these questions to them before. They're going to be just a rapid fire. So what advice would you give your 20-year-old self in the military right now if you could go back and talk to him?
No, that's a tough one. I'd say don't take life too seriously. Just try to enjoy it and learn all you can and be flexible.
Okay. If Batman and Superman were to get in a fight, who would win?
I would say Superman.
Why?
Because Batman's just a rich kid with toys. Superman's immortal.
Okay. Ooh. All right. I got you. Now, there are a lot of great teams in your state. Who are we a supporter of in football?
LSU football.
LSU, all the way.
There's no other team.
Woohoo! All right, two more questions, and we'll draw this to an end. What has been the thing you're most proud of in serving in the military?
Oh, well. I guess becoming a first sergeant. It's a huge honor, and be able to take care of soldiers the best I can. It's no greater honor than that.
That's great. I appreciate that. And then we'll end on a funny note. What, if you remember his name, was the name of your drill sergeant when you went through basic training, and what is the craziest story you remember?
I remember his name, to tell you the truth. I think it was Washington, but I honestly don't remember.
Do you remember anything funny that happened in basic training? It was kind of a wake-up call for you? Or
I try to stay out the light as much as I could. Stay out of trouble.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming and speaking today. For those of you who are listening, we love to take questions, phone calls, requests, things that you want to hear about. Scott, where can the Podcast Nation reach us at?
You could jump online. You could email me at scott@ingus.org.
You can reach me at daniel@ingus.org. Feel free to interject questions, things that you want to know, things that are important for you. We are here serving you.
Yeah. Well, again, thanks for joining us today. This is the second of what is going to be a long series of podcasts. On behalf of the Enlisted Association of the National Guard, which represents the interests of over 450,000 men and women of the Army and Air National Guard, it is our privilege to keep you informed about what's happening in your association's national office, and in this case, in the great state of Louisiana. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.